Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, America?
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Robert Porter.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. What's up in Turkey, Germany, London, San Francisco?
We on the war tour. Come on, tribe.
Seattle, where y'all at? Vancouver. Hartford, okay, Connecticut, insurance capital of America.
Told you. Oh, you on the war tour with Muhammad, my man. He over there killing that tribe, ain't he? Just calling out cities.
What's up in Johannesburg?
I'm just going to let Rob finish there. Now, welcome, of course, Talking Sports at 12th Man, Tuesday the 7th. Having a good time. Let's check in with my co-host, JQ. How you doing this evening, sir?
I'm recuperated, man. I felt bad. I didn't really realize how much I had invested into that game until I watched that game and saw what went down. And I was bummed. I was bummed for the city of Atlanta for sure. But I'm bouncing back. You know, it stung a little bit. I know it stung much worse for you, though, and I'm sorry, bro. But I feel like I'm good now. I'm ready to talk sports, and let's move on and talk about the draft or something else.
Cool. Rockford, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, doing great. Ready to get this party started.
Gotcha. As always, the numbers to call into the show, the 424-243-9519. Reach out to your boys in that aspect. Also on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We're in that route. And then you go to Facebook.com, type in Talking Sports 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. You will find us in that area as well. So got a lot of things to talk about, and it's been fun, man. It's been good. I think, you know, you had the five stages of grief. You have denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance, and maybe I'm going to revert back to one of those. I mean, now I'm in the acceptance phase, so it's been good, man. So, you know, it's all good. So I appreciate Rob putting a lot of Patriot topics in here tonight, too. So thank you, sir, for that. You know, I appreciate you, too. Just want to tell you that.
Hey, you got to talk about happening in the sports world. I wasn't trying to put nothing in nobody's face. I hope you don't feel that way.
No, it was a general statement. I was just saying that, you know, I appreciate, you know, now, you know, I'm trying to make a joke within there too.
Wait, what else are we gonna talk about? College basketball right now?
No, I didn't mean it like that. I was just saying, I was appreciating, you know, it's kind of a joke, man. I was trying to like throw that out there, but you know, apparently it didn't come across like that. So you know, anyway, it's all good.
Well, yeah, I'm just gonna get this out of the way. I mean, obviously, everyone that listens to the show knows I'm not a Falcon fan, but I will say congratulations on a great season. You guys had a great season. And I know that was a tough way to lose a game, almost kind of like the way Seattle lost a couple of years ago. And those are the kind of losses that those players and coaches and probably even fans will probably remember and hope to forget the rest of their lives. And but yeah, that's definitely
hope
a tough
to
way to lose a game. And I knew New England had a run in them, but I actually didn't think they were gonna come back and win that game. I really did not. I knew they would make a run because a team with that kind of quarterback and that kind of coach, you knew they had a run in them, but I didn't really think they could come back from 28-3.
So
I'm not gonna think about it.
Well. You know, it's good because, you know, this is like a therapy for everyone, too, especially for me. But I will say this, you know, and in spite of, you know, that was not a knock, Rob. I know it didn't come across like that, you know, because I know there's a lot of love for you. You know, that if you weren't my friend for 15 years, despite you being a Saints fan, you know, it'd be harder to take because I know Rob posted pictures of New Orleans dancing in the streets. JQ was pretty cool. You know, he was like, because they were having – I'm sure they're having a good time, like, celebrating our demise, man. So, you know, it's all good, man. But – from that perspective, I will just say this, And I hope that, you know, watching the game, you know, because we were all excited, and the bad coaching aside, the bad decision, and I think the thing that hurt the most is the fact that we had that opportunity, and you just never know if we were going to get back, you know, from, you know, there's, a, you know, we can go back, we talk about, hey, you can go back, but you never know in this year, in this age of free agency and whatnot. That's why you got to give a lot of props to the Patriots, and I'll salute them as congratulations. That's a great game. Part of a champion, you know, experience, all that came into play, and that was flipped on our side. And I hope at the end of the day that knowing that we didn't get our ass kicked, it was a good game, we actually put up a good fight, and it was worth it, you know. And I hope that we came across like we actually did, you know, stand up to the Patriots. I mean, we weren't clearly there yet. And that's why you gotta give Bill Belichick and Tom Brady credit, you know, because they keep succeeding, and you know, even if it's asterisk certain things, but they keep succeeding in it in a tough league where you don't have a lot of dynasties anymore. So that's why I'm saying give props to them, and they won. So, you know, hey, it is what it is, but you know, just the pain of us, like, man, you know, if we could have ran the ball, do some things different, it could have been a different outcome, and you know, we're like high five, and it just hurts, man. So we're if I cry in the middle of a show or something like that, you know, just let me go through my phases, and you know, we'll come back to that.
I'm gonna let it out right now, man.
We'll go through that too, man. No, I ain't gonna let it out. I'm saying.
No, but to your point, Dre, I think for like 3.5 quarters, Atlanta had garnered a whole lot of respect nationwide. And there's a whole lot of people talking smack about Atlanta right now, and that's going to happen anytime anybody loses a championship game. That's just the era we live in now with social media and the memes. But I think Atlanta acquitted themselves quite nicely. They gave New England a beating for at least a half, and you could say deeper into that third quarter as well. So I think they opened some eyes, like, okay, that's still a good team. They lost to Tom Brady, but a lot of people have lost to Tom Brady. But they were giving New England the business in a way on a stage like that that not a whole lot of teams have ever done. So I think Atlanta garnered some respect in that aspect. I do.
Well, I think if you're an Atlanta fan, you got to be somewhat disappointing with Kyle Shanahan in that ball game. Obviously, he did a great job all season for the Falcons. But I think the thing you got to realize, Atlanta's even though they have two really good, solid running backs, they have achieved their success this season throwing the football, and for them to only throw the ball 23 times in the football game, and obviously we talked about some of the things that Bill Belichick strategy wise was going to have for the Falcons, and it really that did come into fruition. His game plan was to keep the Falcons in between the 20s and let them run the football, and that's what they were trying to do. So you have to give the Patriots some credit for that. But, you know, if you're a Falcons fan, hey, throwing the football is what really got you there, and only throw the ball 23 times, you have to be somewhat disappointing in that. I mean, you really had a chance to put those Patriots away.
I would disagree with that, though, Rob. I would disagree with that. I look at it, and Devontae missed that sack pickup and got the sack fumble. And then the not running when you're in field goal range, those three passes and the sack, and then you have to punt. They, when you go up two possessions, you have to run the ball right there. You got to. And I give Kyle credit for being aggressive throughout that game, because there were a lot of times he play action pass on first down and went deep and picked up 25 yards when another team would have ran the ball for three. So I like the play caller until that point in time. And the missed pickup on Freeman is on Freeman. But those three passing plays in a row where they basically had to pass on the third one, but not running on first and second down and killing some clock and making sure you stay in field goal range, there's something to be said for staying aggressive and not taking your foot off the gas. But you got to also understand time and space in the game. That time, given what was happening with New England trying to come back, you kick a field goal and you go up two possessions. You got to at least get Matt Bryant on the field and give him a chance. You have to.
Yeah, and obviously that penalty hurt him, but I just personally believe that they took the foot off the gas pedal. And I think they started playing to not to lose the game as opposed to win the game. And obviously New England has something to do with that, but that's just the way it just seemed. We're sitting there watching the game.
Good call. We'll get back on topic too, and I don't want to like take all the conversation because we got a lot of things to talk about. But I do want to add this to the fray too, because I was trying to like, and I was drinking a little. I wasn't crazy drinking too, by the way. I was kind of joking with you guys, but I was listening to sports.
No,
and,
I was
so I kind of like shut off. I shut off a couple.
Well,
of things.
We know the lust with this thing.
I did drink, but I wasn't like passed out drunk, like, you know, but it was like, man, you know, but it was all good. But one thing I was listening to some sports talk, and they were talking. They had a good topic, and they were like, "What was the worst loss that you had, or that you remember from any time?" And it was interesting because, ironically, Patriots fan called in, and I'm like, "Oh, this joker gonna call in," and his response was, you know, the loss whenever they went 18-0 and they lost in the Super Bowl. And he was like, you know, that was just devastating because, you know, you go all that way, you had a perfect season, and you lose to, like, the David Tyree, obviously that amazing catch next to Julian Edelman's catch. And then you're like, man, now granted, we were thinking, man, this joker, I don't want to hear anything more from the Patriots. But then it was like another perspective because it was like, you know, hey, that was just as bad because, you know, y'all couldn't close the deal on that. And, you know, even though they already had to, I guess that was like a worse loss for him. And then he had a Buffalo Bills fan called and like, hey, what can I say? You know, 4 lost Super Bowls. I mean, that's like, that's epic, you know, right there. You know, you went like 4, you know, times and you lost, you know. So, and everyone has those moments,
dude,
where you're just like, it's devastating.
I
and you come
it.
Over certain things. And yeah, and you
had the same moment you had. The same one, 88 against the 49ers. John Taylor and Joe Montana with like 34 seconds left. Yes, no, I know. I get it.
But it's interesting, you know. I mean, and we know time heals all wounds and what, you know, but it was just like you had that loss. You're like, man, you know, you just think in your head, you know, hopefully we'll get over this. And it was interesting to hear that perspective as far as that, too. And then, you know, my thing, my last point is that, you know, the thing that hurts is, you know, hey, no team has ever come back. I mean, the worst loss was like a 10-point loss. And, of course, the Patriots obliterated that record. Records are made to be broken, you know, and hopefully won't be always that asterisk moving in the forward. You know, somebody will come behind from 30. I mean, I don't know. I'm just hoping may not be next year or 5 years, but maybe 10 years down the road, somebody's going to come back again, and that record won't stand as far as that comeback. But, yeah, well, yeah, but I'm just saying, too. But anyway, it was just good to get that. That was part of the acceptance of really realizing what happened after my depression phase. But it is all good. So we'll talk about that. So I guess, you know, I guess now that your boy, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game, Tom Brady, went in 5. I guess should he ride up in the sunset, Rob, and kind of say, hey, it's been fun, deuces, and go from there. What else can I accomplish?
Well, I don't think he's done. Obviously, I don't think he's done playing football. Obviously, he's still playing at a very high level, and I think, you know, a lot of these guys now at the quarterback position, if they stay in shape and take care of their bodies, I mean, I think we're going to see a few of these guys go into their 40s. And, you know, I don't know if they can make it to 45, but I could really see quite a few of these guys play at 42, 43 years old, you know, with this day and age. I mean, the NFL is protecting the quarterback almost like they're wearing skirts back there in the pocket. And so, you know, call it what it is. You know, you can't touch the guys with the skirts. And so they're going to protect the quarterbacks, and obviously, obviously they're, you know, they're what, you know, draws attention to the game, the quarterbacks, or the you know, obviously they get paid the most money, and the league is a passing game now, so they want to do all they can to protect the skirts, and so I mean they're going to protect those guys.
But you got Drew Brees. You should love that.
Oh, yeah.
You got Drew
Brees. He's another guy. He's going to play into his 40s. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm just saying. I mean, they're going to protect those guys. And obviously, it's good for the league and the attention that they're getting. So a lot of these guys are going to play for a while. And there's no sign of decline. I think when you see a sign of decline, like Peyton Manning, that you started to see last year, I think that's when it's time to hang it up. Tom Brady still has some game left in him, and he might still have a chance at another Super Bowl or two.
I was going to say, you said, what else do you have left to prove? Number 6? Because he could get it. I think he can play until he's 43 and have 3 or 4 more years and have 1 run left in him. You might get Gronk healthy for the whole year. Josh Daniels stays around for the last 2 rounds. You know, I don't know if Elmer stays there, but you get another dude to run the same kind of option route. I mean, I think he plays. We talked about it. I mean, he like eats avocado ice cream. I mean, this dude is obsessive about his lifestyle and his health and what he puts into his body. And I hate him, and I hate to talk about him like that. But you know, he puts the work in to be that good. And as long as that infrastructure stays in place, barring some kind of blowout with Kraft and Belichick and the 3 of them, I will play. Like you said, until you see that kind of Brett Favre, Peyton Manning decline. If I'm him, I'm going to play and keep cashing checks and try to walk into another Super Bowl.
Good call. So the Patriots, I guess the question, the next question, so what could the Patriots receive by trading Jimmy Garoppolo? I guess we'll talk about the rumors about that, but JQ, what are your thoughts about this topic?
Well, the way I read about it, they were talking about New England was looking for a first and a fourth round, and you can do that when
wow.
you have multiple suitors. You know, you talk about the Houston, you talk about the Bears.
Try about the first.
I think also San Francisco. Yes, 49ers as well. I think you've got a lot of teams, and once you have a lot of teams that have a lot of demand, I mean, you can drive your price up. So, again, New England, the rich get richer. Everything we just talked about for Tom Brady, you know, are you going to franchise Garoppolo and pay him $19 million? No. So it's really on Garoppolo to say, hey, I'm not signing for anything less than 15 or 16, and they say, you know, go ahead on the market, and he's out there. So they're going to have to trade him or let that happen because, at this point, he wants to play, and teams are going to pay him that kind of money to come play for them. So why not get something out of it if you're New England?
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I think if I'm a general manager, I don't know if I would trade a first-rounder for him. But there probably will be a team dumb enough and stupid enough to do it. I'm thinking maybe a second and a fourth or a second and a fifth or a second with a player that could possibly come in and help your franchise too. So I think that's what I think the probably a fair market value is. Obviously, he did start 3 games this past season and he played fairly well. But you still haven't seen a full season of this guy. I don't know if I'm be willing to trade a first rounder for him, especially for a guy that wasn't drafted in the first round anyway. So I think the fair market value, in my opinion, would be something around a second rounder and another pick or a second rounder and a player for Garoppolo. But like I said, he's a quarterback. And there probably is a team out there dumb and stupid enough to trade it first.
You talked about it. You endorsed it. It was Houston. You say they had everything they needed except for capable quarterback play. Why would they not give up their first-round pick if they was going to draft the quarterback? And you have Bill O'Brien with his New England ties. Houston would give up a first-round pick. I think they're going to get a first-round pick for Garoppolo because quarterbacks always rise and stop. They always do. And when you have multiple teams involved and you have a Houston sitting there saying, we've got running backs, we've got receivers, we've got defensive line, we got a decent O-line, we got a good secondary. We just need a quarterback that can come in here and just do something. I think they would do it. I really wouldn't be mad though for gambling. They have a team that's ready-made to take the next step if they have good quarterback play.
So how come it's not a Tony Romo, though? I mean, you already went down the Brock Osweiler path, and that didn't go anywhere.
Because he's 85.
I mean, I'm just asking the question.
Going on
100. Question.
Right,
I mean, how far away are the Texans? I mean, are they 1 or 2 seasons? I mean, you know,
they're
they could
there.
Be right there. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
They're there.
So you just need one. You need one solid quarterback to take it to the next level. You know, so I mean, I know it's like the difference between young and old, but you know, it's just I'm just asking the question. That's all. You know, maybe hanging around. I'm not advocating that for Roma. I'm just saying, you know, how
no,
I don't know. I'm kind of
you know
like
why?
You got fleeced. Why?
You know why? Because it's to Rob's point of it's a first-round pick and it's a hot commodity. So I'm not going to give a first-round pick for somebody for 2 or 3 years, maybe, but I can kind of get somebody that's 20, what's Garoppolo, 22, 23, and I can have him for a longer period of time. If I'm going to trade for him, I'm not only going to trade for him if we have a wink-wink deal to sign him to a 4 or 5 year deal, right? So I'm getting a 22-year-old for a first-round pick as opposed to getting a 35. How old is Romo? Like 36? For a first-round pick or whatever, not first-round for Romo, but you give that up for a 22-year-old, you don't give that up for a 36-year-old is my point, where you feel like that 22-year-old can take leaps and bounds and grow with the rest of your teams. When you have a young Hopkins, you got a young running game in Irvin, and the running back they got from Miami, sorry, Lamar Miller. Pieces. And you've got that defense, of course, with Watt, and they got re-signed the cornerback as well, but he also will have Jonathan Joseph. They have a good team. You know, they just need a quarterback. So if you tell me I can get a 22-year-old that I think could really be that guy, he's 22, why not? You're going to draft somebody that is 22, coming out maybe with a first-round pick, and have the same kind of hopes for him.
Yeah, he's still a little improving, like Rob said. So that's my thing. I mean, you don't know if you're still getting, you know, a good quarterback or like another Brock Osweiler. You really don't know. So, I mean, like Rob said, he's still kind of early. So – we'll see. I mean, that's where I was going in the path. I mean, you're taking a risk either way. So, you know, I get it. Maybe you're going younger, but you still know what this guy's going to develop into. So that's kind of the where I was going.
Yeah, my point
we'll
is, I just wouldn't put a first round grade on them. Is there a team that's going to be a team that's going to possibly do it? I don't doubt that at all.
Yeah, fair enough. Should Tom Brady be mentioned with the likes of Muhammad Ali, Babe Ruth, and Michael Jordan, Rob?
Well, absolutely. Right now, I think you got to put him up there as the best quarterback in NFL history. And so if you're the best quarterback in NFL history, obviously that puts you up as one of the best players in NFL history. And so and those are the best in their respective sports. So you have to put Tom Brady, whether you like him or not, you have to put him up on that Mount Rushmore of professional sports athletes. So, I mean, obviously, you got to put him up there with Jordan, Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Serena Williams. Those are the greatest in their respective sports, so you have to put them up there in that ranking.
Thank you.
To me, there is a pantheon of stars. There is a level within the level of stardom. Nobody should be, to me, should be in there with Muhammad Ali for what he did out the ring as much as what he did in the ring. But then you talk about what Babe Ruth has in the lore of baseball. Well, Michael Jordan revolutionized really modern NBA game. We did with the shoe contract and the dunking and the jump man and all of that. To me, Tom Brady, even with five, still doesn't touch their air. And I think Serena should be there, but she won't. Those guys are just on another planet. And it's not right or wrong how you feel about it. I just don't think that Brady or Serena will even touch those three. Babe Ruth is always going to be Babe Ruth. I just don't think they're going to get to that level. And I think Mike is there, too. And for me, Muhammad Ali, for everything, athletic and non-athletic-wise, those three, I think, are – I can't think of anybody right now that I even think is close to being necessarily even able to touch them. I think they are in their own stratosphere in terms of the stars, and they even have another tier of stars behind them where you have your Tom Brady and your Serena Williams where they reside.
Are you going based on fame, or are you talking about what they have achieved in sports?
I'm just talking about their lore and everything. When you hear their names, what it echoes right. Everything about it, it's the whole thing wrapped into one. On the field, off the field, endorsements, all of it. That's why, for me, those three are kind of like out there. And then Tom Brady and the Serenas are in that next stratosphere of, they're ball, something's wrong. But the three people that I put in front of them are just, they're an icon's icon. You know what I mean? Like, they're just out there. You just can't touch that star power. To me, that's just me personally.
Wow. I agree. I mean, I think that he's not quite there yet. Now, granted, five Super Bowls, I mean, you can talk about that as an amazing feat. But, like you said, changing the game, changing everything. I mean, just revolutionizing. I agree with you. I mean, what Michael Jordan did, I mean, still doing with Jumpman. And, it's like, be like Mike. You remember all that stuff, the Babe. There's certain, you can just say a name and you just kind of associate. And, Brady's on the path there. I mean, I'm not saying he's done yet, so clearly he could be mentioned, in that, but I don't think he's transcended anything just yet. I think of a player that could have been like that, kind of like a Michael Vick type of player that just kind of transcended the sport. And he didn't do that, but I'm saying that's what I think about, just revolutionizing the position of quarterback and off the field, on the field. Everything is kind of like, I don't know, I kind of get going with another stratosphere, but that, I mean, like I said, it's still early. He could still do that per se, but for right now, he's not quite there, in my opinion, just yet, too. But
well, they'll never be as popular as those people if that's what we're talking about. But if we're talking about what they've achieved in sports, then he's there and then some. But
if you're talking about
a popularity contest, Tom Brady's probably more hated than liked in America. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But if we're talking about what they've achieved in sports and what they've achieved in their prospective sports, if we're talking about just from a sports standpoint, absolutely.
But whenever you're mentioning like the greatest of all time, if you say that, I think of Muhammad Ali. That's the first thing I think of. When you think about Jumpman or just like the sport of basketball, I think of like Jordan, because Jordan, for whatever reason, everyone modeled their game after Jordan. I mean, Dr. J, Oscar Robinson, Will, Kareem, those are great players. Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, but just something about Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That dude was like something about him. I mean, everything. Martin.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it could have been, Babe Ruth. I mean, you say the Babe, man, you know who everyone's talking about. Now, Ted Williams, Carl Sherman, those are great players. But when you say Babe, what about him? He's kind of in his own little thing. I think that's what we're talking about from JP's, I get from JQ's perspective, because you're just like, they were something about them, you know, they were great on the field, off the field, everything kind of corresponds. I mean, there's just so much more to them. And Tom Brady, he's there as far as, like you said, Robert Football-wise, but just transcending another level, he's not quite there yet. That's what I think Jim
Well, absolutely. Like I said, if it's a popularity contest, if you're including everything outside of sports, then no, he's never going to be those people because, like I said, he's probably more hated than anything. Well, Michael Jordan, everyone loved him. Muhammad Ali, everyone loved him. But if we're talking about what somebody has done in sports, if we're talking about just from a sports perspective, then you got to give the man his credit.
You know what it is? You know what it's like?
Because I don't even think Muhammad Ali can even stand up to what Tom Brady has achieved on the field or what he's done in his perspective sport.
You know what it's like? It's like the Kobe-LeBron conversation. Like, if they ever got to 6 rings or 7 rings, would they be greater than Jordan? No, they wouldn't. Even if they got to 6 rings, they just won't have his reach of what he has meant just out there, throwing it out there. Like, you could, on the court, you could say they did, and they are. But you would never convince a room full of black dudes talking about it that either one of those dudes, even at 6 rings, would be greater than Michael Jordan. Even at 7 rings would be greater than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
it's
agree.
Just that kind of thing
I
where
agree,
it's hard to kind of cross over into that other level of stratosphere. I hear what you're saying about on the field. Yeah, you can't knock that dude. 5 Super Bowl rings is ridiculous.
He's the greatest.
But
he's the greatest Cuban. We get it.
Yeah.
You know,
I just can't
bump
those other names with him for me.
Yeah,
right.
Like I said, you know, tit for tat, that's why we enjoy sports talk for sure. So it's great points. Like Rob said, you know, for on the football field, I mean, like you said, 100% thumbs up, greatest. We're just talking about, like, that next level is transcending. And like I said, I don't know how else to explain that, but I get it. Let's talk about the early – we got 18 minutes here. Let's talk about early predictions for the 2017 season. I'll let you kind of kick this off, Rob. Go ahead, sir.
Early predictions, 4-20 – 17 season. First off, I'm going to start off with the Redskins. We're going to see them sign Kirk Cousins to a long-term deal, but don't expect Pierre Garçon and DeSean Jackson to be back with the team. So you'll see a new receiving core for the Washington Redskins going into next season. The Cowboys won't make the playoffs next year.
What?
The Dolphins,
come on, man.
Won't make the playoffs next year. The Raiders won't make the playoffs next year. The Giants won't make the playoffs last year. Every year there's 6 to 8 new teams in the playoffs. It's going to be, I'm making some bold predictions here. As you go back and look at the last 20 years, every year there's 6 to 8 new playoff teams.
That's true.
Raiders,
so you know there's a good bit of these playoff teams that will not be there next year. It happens every year. Or we can go over the numbers from this year. Who didn't make it?
Now,
I mean, it sucks. The two teams that made it to the Super Bowl last year didn't make the playoffs this year at all.
I get you. I just think it's kind of shocking to think Cowboys and Dolphins. Okay, so Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders.
So I got the Cowboys, Dolphins, Raiders, Giants, Lions, and the Falcons won't make the playoffs next year.
Wow.
Next year, the Ravens, the Chargers, the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Buccaneers, and the Rams will make the playoffs next year.
Come on, man.
Who's going to make it?
Those are my bold predictions.
You said the Rams, the Bucks. Who else?
The Rams, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Ravens, Redskins, and Eagles.
Okay. All right. Okay. Go ahead. So that's all you got for that?
That's all I got.
I mean, that's a mouthful. He just stated, I didn't really know what to say behind that. I'm going to substitute the Bengals for the Ravens. And I think
that's a homer.
I think the Cowboys get in over who's the other NFC team. Who'd you have making it from the NFC again?
The Eagles and the Redskins.
The Redskins aren't going to make it if they let Garçon and Jackson both go. They're not going to make it. I don't care how great they think Gruden is. That's not going to happen.
Well, Garçon was already old.
Yeah, but he was still productive.
Jackson can't stay healthy.
I still will resign those dudes. They were right there. They got them to the playoffs 2 years ago, and they just missed it by a game this year to the Giants. That's a bad on Washington. You have to sign the 8-year deals, but you can sign the 2 or 3. But, I mean, he's right. 6 to 8 teams, I still feel like Oakland makes it. I feel like Oakland makes it. I feel like Denver doesn't make it again. I feel like Oakland makes it. I feel like Kansas City might not make it. I expect they're going to keep them. Keep performing the magic. I just don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what happened with Robinson's book. I mean, I get the boldness. I mean, Rams. You know, I don't know if Jared Goff's gonna make that much of a leap in his second year. That's a really bold prediction. I think the Chargers are gonna be shell shocked from, you know, and heartbroken from moving to L.A. and their fans. You know, so I think that's. I don't think they're gonna make it. So that's kind of what I've got for that. I mean, I still think. You know, Falcons will get in. You know, I can see the Bengals too, but I just don't. You know, I can agree with everything. I'm so surprised with the Cowboys. That's kind of one of those on the cuff ones too. The Cowboys, you know, surprised too. But fair enough, man. But
the Cowboys,
you know, like
it.
I said, I like it. It's a 10-bone on the limb. You know, at least he did something. But that's really, I wrote those down because
he's gonna call me a homer.
Come back in time. Well,
hey, you know, Andre, he put his Falcons back in there too, so he a homer too.
I think it's easy to say
that right now. On paper, it may look that way, but I promise you, it's going to be a lot different. It always is.
It is different. I get it. Like, if you have an injury or something like that, I mean, something, you know, we're not going to completely overhaul our team. So
I mean, do any of us think
like
the Panthers wasn't going to playoffs this year? I think we all picked the Panthers to win the NFC South. Go back to our prediction.
Why are you messing around? Green Bay by night make the playoffs next year.
Oh, that's
they
a possibility.
They got a great run. Can they do that again? I mean, I'm just saying. I was like, you know, I'm not with my homeboy
right now.
I'm just saying. Look at that. They came. They went on a run. Can they do that multiple years in a row?
And like I said, hindsight is 2020 because looking back at the Panthers, I mean, you know, you figured that they were getting back, you know, Kelvin Benjamin. And you just didn't realize the impact of having that whole new secondary. I mean, you figured, hey, they're going to draft some guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't expect anything to happen to that fall because you figured, hey, their defense is pretty solid. They just added a couple rookies. And yeah, we were off with that one. But that's not because of the fact that it was just, you know, anything can happen this season if you have an injured quarterback or you never know what's going to happen for sure. So I get where you're coming from, Rob, that you're going to get 80 teams. But, you know, that's pretty bold. I mean, like I said, I can see the Cowboys.
That's not
Ram, you know, maybe you don't know, but you know, there's a couple ones you're like, you know, like I said, I get Jeff Fisher. You know, that dude was a terrible coach, but Jared Goff ain't that damn good. He ain't giving that much of an impact. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Chargers. I still think they're gonna be upset about the move to LA, man. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see about that one. So let's talk about the Browns here.
Now, I will admit the teams that I booked could be bold, but having 6 to 8 new teams in the playoffs, that's not bold. That's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
I mean, you go back the last 20 years. Having 6 to 8 new teams in the playoffs, that's going to happen.
I mean, you can go Colts. I can see Colts making it. I can see Colts.
Will I be right or wrong about some of the teams? I know I'm going to be right on some. I'm going to be wrong on some. I mean, that's the bottom line when you're predicting sports.
There you go. That's true.
But six to eight teams, that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
We got you.
It's
the team that you picked, man. It's the picks team that you picked. But we get it. It's all good. The Cleveland Browns released Josh McCown. I guess, what does this mean for the Browns? Does this mean they're kind of paving the way for quarterback JQ, or do you think that this is just kind of like just circumstances?
Oh, yeah, no. They would have to have the things fall really bad for them at 1 and 12 in the draft to not be able to get a quarterback that they like in one of those picks. I mean, they got the first pick, right? So they can take a quarterback first. So they may be tipping their hand to what they're doing. Trubisky's been out there. I don't think Watson or Kaiser is going to go that high. It's either Trubisky or they're going to go with the defensive end from Texas A&M. But when you got two picks that high, you can make moves. And they got a lot of picks. They can package a third and fourth rounder or two as well with that 12th pick and try to move up, you know, a slot or two. So I think Cleveland, we know they're drafting the quarterback. And Josh McCown's like 45. I mean, you know, that's a no-brainer. I'm surprised they didn't release him and RG3 on the same day. I mean, why are we even playing games? Is RG3 really going to be on the roster?
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, well, Cleveland Browns sucks. Ever since they got this new team back in 1998, They haven't found a quarterback yet, and we're going on 19 years. Maybe the 20th year will be the year that they get lucky here. But
I hope not.
I think if you're the Cleveland Browns, it's going to be hard to get a quarterback in a free agency other than probably somebody that come in and be a backup for you. So the only way I think you're going to solve this quarterback position is you got to find somebody in the draft. And obviously, Myles Garrett at this point in the draft stage has the highest grade. So obviously, you don't want to pass up on this elite pass rusher. So you probably will have to pass on a quarterback at the number one position. But you have some flexibility by either moving up with your second first rounder, or, you know, you try to see if you want to get one of those guys in the early part of the second round, Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes. Those two guys would be somewhere in that ballpark. So if feel like if one of those two guys are the answer, or you trade up from with your second round and your second first round pick, you move up to go get Trubisky or Deshaun Kizer.
I tell you this year, every year, you're awesome with your draft prep, but every year I tell you the quarterbacks are going to rise. There's no way Deshaun Watson is sitting there at the end of the first round with them for the first pick in the second round. That is not going to happen. I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. Yeah. Rob Mahomes may be there, but Deshaun Watson and Kizer and Trubisky will not be there at the start of the second round. They're going to have to use that pick.
I didn't say that.
Talked about move up. You said Deshaun Watson.
I just said move up to
Mahomes.
Huh?
At the second round. You said Mahomes and Watson in the start of the second round, didn't you?
If you look at my mock draft at this current stage, I actually have Cleveland moving up to 25 to get Watson from their second round.
Watson will be right there at 20. I don't think Watson will be available at 25. That's my point. I don't. I think they're going to have to use that second one earlier.
That's a certain possibility. And Trubisky and Kizer, I have them in the top five. So what I was saying is they can move up from their second first-round pick and package that with their second-round pick. But, yeah, every year we know teams are going to trade up for quarterbacks. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I just think Watson's going to be gone. They're going to have to trade into, like, if they don't take him at 12, they're going to have to boost the picks around to get back up to, like, 17. I don't think he goes into the 20s because I just feel like the quarterback's going to rise and he just won a national championship.
I agree. We'll see.
Yep, the only problem is he's going to have to get ahead of Trubisky and Kizer. Because there's no – I don't know if Cleveland doesn't even have to move in to the 10 to 20 range because there's no team in that window that needs a quarterback.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good call.
We do, but, you know, they don't believe it.
Oh, they're gonna stick with Dalton, so you can forget about that. But, yeah, you look at the draft board, there's no team in the 10 to 20 bracket that needs a quarterback, so there's really no need for Cleveland to even have to move up into that window.
Wow.
But will he have to move into the 20 to 30 range? That's a possibility. But moving up to 10 to 20, at this point, it doesn't even need it because there's no team in that window that needs a quarterback.
But they're Cleveland, and they might feel like that's fool's gold, and they might take him at 12 anyway.
Where are the Jets at, Rob? I don't have the mark drafts in front of me. Where are they picking? Do you know, on top of your head?
The Jets are number six.
Okay. So you think they're not going quarterback either? You know, not that high, right?
I don't see at this point in the draft process, I don't see Watson going all the way up to number six. Can I see the Jets taking a quarterback? If Trubisky or Kizer is there at six, absolutely. I see the Jets snatching one of those two guys.
And the Jets like Glennon from Tampa Bay. They're in on the Glennon sweepstakes. Yeah.
Okay. Good call. We had about 5 minutes and 45 seconds here. I do want to talk about the Green Bay releasing James Starks and what that means, and we'll talk about the fantasy shout-outs. So what about this move with the Packers releasing James Starks? What do you think about this, JQ?
I feel like every time I see the board, I feel like Christian McCaffrey is destined to go to the Green Bay Packers. He is what they absolutely need, a returner, a running back, and a running back that can catch passes out the field for Brett Favre. I'm old. Aaron Rodgers, I'm just saying, he's perfect for what they need for that offense. And, I mean, they need things on defense, don't get me wrong. But if they went Christian McCaffrey, first round and then went defense for the rest of the draft and got good value with those defensive picks, we all sit there and say, yes, that's a fabulous draft by the Green Bay Packers. I really do. For the offense, for what they have, you can bring Montgomery in and let him play some of that H-back kind of thing as well as a bruiser. You still got the fullback, 22. But a game changer like McCaffrey with Aaron Rodgers for the versatility he has, I just think that's a match made in heaven.
He's also a match made in heaven for the Patriots, believe it or not, too. I think he's a smart player, too, for them,
too.
So that'd be another great pick, too. And I don't think he'll make it to the I don't think he'll make it to the Patriots, obviously. But, yeah, just this, that's a great call as well, too, man. They're running to the draft board. What about your that, Robin? Let's talk about fantasy shout-outs here.
We'll need the Patriots getting richer and richer, but, you know, Belichick is going to win regardless who's on this team.
Yeah. What about them releasing? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, obviously the running back position, I don't think is that hard to replace. So I think in the grand scheme of things, I don't think it's that big of a deal for them releasing Starks. Not sure how much more he has in the tank. And he's going to be one of these kind of running backs. I think you want to stay in shape. Because as teams lose running backs as the season goes along, he'll be one of the mid-season signings that can come out and help a team in a pinch.
Yep. Good call.
All right, we got about 3 minutes, Rob. Go ahead and do the fantasy shout-outs and get ready to set up the OT portion afterwards, sir.
Fantasy shout-out tonight, my co-host, JQ, the Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 7-1 over Madison, Madhouse on Madison. So had the biggest win of the week. Yours truly, my team, still holding on to first place, the Orleans Buck Jumpers, 89-30-1. Still holding on to first place. We got to keep it going.
Attaboy, too, right there, I was actually proud of myself, man. Yeah, man. It's all good, man. I'm proud of myself.
Did you realize that every time we do these shout-outs, every week that he's been in the first place, you realize I have been in the second place in every one of those weeks? This is frustrating. I agree with my love, though. He's killing it, but it's true. He knows it. I've been in second place every week that he's been in first place.
He's right.
We'll talk offline, JQ. I'll throw some love to you, man. We'll talk about this, man. We're going to team up, man, and take Rob down here. So it's all good, man.
Oh, man. You see how they do me, America? You see how they do me, Turkey?
I know you were talking about
Turkey.
You're not calling us Turkey. Oh, there you go.
I love it.
I was talking about the country. Hey, we all run across the world on the internet.
I know, first, like, you said do me Turkey, I was like, well, wait a minute, are you calling me a turkey? No, I got you. It's all good.
No, you didn't get job all right, apartment, so you were good.
You job turkey? Hey, we have the OT portion.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate everybody tuning in. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you that portion of our show live, but you can click on the same link on tomorrow. We still got more football, maybe some basketball we're going to get into as well. So you definitely want to click on the same link on tomorrow. Next few weeks, we got a lot of stuff happening. We're going to get you back into the NFL draft. We got March Madness around the corner. There's a lot to be talking about, NBA playoffs. Stay tuned. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know what it is. Stay classy, San Diego. Sorry for your loss. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the show. Hopefully, maybe
you don't really care, San Diego.
I do care, man. You can't take the Chargers from San Diego, man. The powder blue, man. What? That's San Diego. You can't take that from them. That's awful. I really do feel bad for them. San Diego's also a
San
place.
San Diego.
Like, you know. Superchargers. Good night, good
people. Rob didn't say his worst loss either, man. What was the worst loss, man, in your life, man?
My worst loss?
Yeah,
I think, believe it or not, y'all may think I'm crazy, but the
you're crazy.
The 2011 Saints season when we lost to the 49ers in the divisional round when they scored in the last minute, I actually think that Saints team was better than the Saints team that won the Super Bowl. Had the same record. We broke every major offensive record in NFL history that season. And that one hurts still to this day because I think that Saints team was even better than the Super Bowl team.
Fair enough.
Good call. All right, we're headed to the OT portion here, and I'm going to talk about, you know, we'll skip over Tom Brady resting, but let's talk about a lot of things happened. You know, I guess you put a topic in there about Ricardo Allen for the Falcons. He's going to watch Super Bowl 10 times a day. What'd you get about that, man? What were you talking about that, Rob?
Well, I think, you know, this is one of those kind of things where a player, you know, wants to get better, and he wants to see what they can do to improve to get better. So you have to like that as a coach. And, of course, if you're a fan of that team, I think that's respected. You know, sometimes you want to just burn the film when you lose a game like that. But, you know, for to be able to go back and watch it several times and see what you could have done to correct yourself, you know, I think that's somebody that's got, you know, a strong will and a strong tenacity to figure out a way that he can improve his game to get better.
Your thoughts about that, JQ?
I love it. I mean, it's a little ridiculous on the surface, but I love it for the fact that what you talked about, Rob, and the fact that he has that kind of motivation that this is not going to happen to me again, and I want to affect change around me, and that when I'm not going to let it happen to me again, anybody in this meeting room with me on this practice field is going to know how I feel about this loss, and we're going to come out here and we're going to bring it this next year, and you're going to need more than him to deliver that message. He's going to need some help, but you've got one guy, if he falls through on that statement, you feel like, you know what, he's going to be a force on that locker room and on that practice field of, we was right there, let's go get it this time, now that we know what we should do right or wrong. We have the team, let's go make it happen. I love it for Ricardo Allen. I love it for the message.
Yeah, call.
I think, you know, we talked about this, you know, there's 6 to 8 new teams in the playoffs every year. You got to give yourself something to motivate yourself in order to get back to that level. And you have to stay hungry. It's not easy to get back there. I don't know, the Patriots make it look easy, but based on the stats in the NFL the last few, going back the last 20 years, it has not been easy. So you have to come up with something that's going to motivate you and push you to drive you to want to get back to that level.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of moves happen. I know, you know, Rob's hating this, but, you know, obviously Kyle Shanahan takes the job of the 49ers. We knew that was happening. And what about the news, and we'll talk about this,
the news
that Steve Sarkisian got the coordinator job for the Falcons. I don't know what that came out of left field, but, you know, apparently they knew what was going to happen.
No.
What's your thoughts about that? You know, well, yeah, good. Robert,
well, those two guys worked together in Seattle, so it's not a surprise.
Yeah.
I don't think
we were, like, expecting that. I'm saying, I didn't see anything about that. Like, yeah, I mean, we knew the connection, but it wasn't like, hey, you know, I'm sure we didn't think this was going to – we were thinking Chip Kelly was the guy that was on the staff, not like Steve Sarkisian, because he just came from, like you said, Alabama and other things too, you know, even though his drinking can come help us with the Falcons, but hustle in the conversation. But, no, an interesting phase as well, you know. So we see the connection, but I don't think we saw it actually happening is what I was trying to say with that. But go ahead.
Yeah,
I agree
with that, too. I didn't see it happening, but once it actually happened, it's not a surprise because Dan Quinn obviously worked together with Pete Carroll, Steve Sarkisian. They worked with him at Seattle with Pete Carroll as well. Pete Carroll is a Sarkisian fan, and so you just kind of put the pieces together, so it kind of makes sense. And you got to realize this, too. These coaches, I mean, they learned a lot from Nick Saban, but every coach will tell you he's a hard person to work for. So, you know, you work for Dan Quinn or you work for Nick Saban, I think it probably was an easy decision for Steve Sarkisian. You know, Lane Kiffin was getting ready to make – if he didn't get a head coaching job, he was getting ready to take a lateral move to go to LSU. That's how bad he was getting ready to leave Nick Saban. So, I mean, it's totally not a surprise. And actually, LSU offered him – more money to be an OC, but obviously Lane Kiffin wanted to be a head coach. And obviously, you know, you get an opportunity to be a head coach, you don't want to turn that down. It's not a lot of those jobs. But that's just how bad he was ready to leave Alabama. He was going to take a lateral move to leave Alabama. And Sarkisian, you know, figured the same thing.
So what about Chip Kelly love, man? Do they need each other? Think about the top.
Well, it's
going to
be interesting. It's going to be interesting, you know. Nick Saban made a bold decision to bring in Lane Kiffin, and that was a surprise to a lot of people. You know, a lot of people didn't think that they would, you know, be a perfect match. And so it would be a surprise if he – yeah, it worked, though, for a while. But it wouldn't be a surprise if Saban reached out to Chip Kelly. I mean, I hope he don't, because obviously, I don't want them to do well. And but it wouldn't be a surprise to me.
At least the Alabama players can read the picture.
Hey, at least I'm telling the truth.
Go ahead, JQ.
Well, just, okay. So the piece about it, I don't think that Chip Kelly is going to go to Alabama unless he signs a blood document with Nick Saban that he won't run that high tipple offense as fast. Because you got to remember, Nick Saban, before he got into the Lane Kiffin and Steve Sark business, he was a staunch, you know, opponent of that spread up tempo offense, and it got more players hurt. So he's talking about going from those guys to going to Chip Kelly, who revolutionized, you know, going to a fast tempo. I just don't know if Nick Saban has progressed that much in life to where he's like, okay, I've totally thrown this out to the window, and now I'm going to get the dude that has run his offense faster than anybody. Like, I just don't know if he can do that without them saying, hey, we're not going to do that, bro. So if you're going to come here, you better slow that down because you ain't going to kill my defense. So I got to hear some more about that before I'm a believer of it, because they just don't seem right. To the start coming to Atlanta, it's everything y'all said. You connect the dots, you know, of the Pete Carroll tree, and don't lose fact of the fact that Tuscaloosa is 2 hours from Atlanta. So you got your homeboy 2 hours up the road having success, and you're down here, and y'all can meet in the middle, or he can come see you, you can see him, and it's nothing, right? That you can't necessarily, you know, discredit that piece of it, where it's familiarity and just a personal relationship. And then the last piece of it, you know, Sark can still run that West Coast offense, and it's a hybrid kind of West Coast offense that he's tailored to Matt Ryan, but they don't have a radical change that you would have gotten from a Chip Kelly that they're bringing in. Atlanta dodged a bullet by not working with Chip Kelly and bringing him in as the offensive coordinator. Sark may fall on his face. He might. It might not work out. But I read something from Aaron Schefter today. They said the terminology is almost the same. So
you're talking about
wanting to keep that same kind of continuity. Well, if the terminology is going to be the same, you can't get that much better in terms of continuity.
Keep an eye on that too, man.
Yeah, I agree with that. Chip Kelly would not have been a perfect fit for a Matt Ryan quarterback. I mean, Sarkisian would definitely be a better fit from an OC standpoint, running the West Coast or that style of offense. I don't think Chip Kelly and Matt Ryan would have been a perfect fit at all.
Yeah, keep an eye, too, as far as that connection with the Alabama team, too, because I think Nick Saban was huge as far as committing the Falcons to draft Julio Jones. So I'll keep an eye on O.J. Howard, the tight end from Alabama. I'm kind of curious how that's going to play out, too, man. So we'll see about that.
Atlanta.
Yep. I kind of think that may be in
Ole Miss. Yeah, that's a great get.
Let's talk about some interesting moves here. There's a lot of things about Carmelo Anthony and a lot of rumors about him. Freaking LeBron James flat out called your boy a lie. Talking about that, you know. But I think there's smoke, there's fire. Where is he going to land? Yeah, trash. That's a good call. Is there smoke, there's fire with that, JQ? Where do you think he's going to land?
I think they're having conversations, but I think it comes down to this. And they talked about it on Inside the NBA, but I thought the same thing. New York is in the worst negotiating position possible. Everybody knows they want to move Melo, and it's not working. So when you tell the Clippers that you'll give them Melo without them giving up Chris Paul or Blake Griffin, why would Cleveland say, okay, we'll give you Kevin Love? Like, why would they do that? Mm. They want to get Carmelo, but they don't want to get Carmelo at the price of giving up Kevin Love. So they can wait New York out and say, if it don't work out, guess what? This is the same team that is defending champion. So the ball is on New York in terms of, are they going to wait and get 83 cent on the dollar for Carmelo, or are they going to bail and get 49 cent on the dollar for Carmelo? That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to what can Cleveland give the Knicks if you don't part with Kevin Love? That's the question. Are you going to send them a bunch of role players? Are you going to send them a bunch of role players and a few first-round draft picks? That's probably what it's going to take to acquire Carmelo Anthony. Obviously, if you look, the general manager of the Cavaliers is LeBron James. We all know that. And so I think when it comes down to this, he wants to build a team of superstars so he can be able to match up with Golden State. I mean, right now, Golden State is a clear favorite to win the championship. And so he's trying to put together a team that can compete with Golden State so he can win another title. And so he would have to give up a couple of role players, and possibly a draft pick or two, to give up Carmelo Anthony. So I think if you're the Knicks, you gotta look at that. I think another consideration will be the Los Angeles Clippers. I think they're kind of getting tired of Blake Griffin and his injuries and things of that nature. That's another option. But I still think if he does get traded, Cleveland would be the number one option at the moment. But you got to consider the Clippers as well as a secondary team for Carmelo Anthony.
What about your crazy cousin?
Go ahead.
No, if you're Cleveland, what?
I said, if you're Cleveland, why not give up 2 first-round picks within the next 4 years? You feel like with that team, you're not going to pick no worse than 26th. So is that guy even going to play on your team in the next 3 or 4 years? You know what I mean? Unless you just catch a diamond in the rough, I would give up those first-round picks. It's not like Brooklyn giving up the farm for, you know, 3 old guys, and now they're going to have the worst record in the league and give Boston a first-round pick just on some ridiculousness. Like, Cleveland's probably going to be picking in the late 20s. So you got to weigh where you're going to be picking when you give up those first-round picks. They're not all created equal.
Yeah, but they're going to have to give up some players to make it work in the salary cap, too. But, you know, what kind of players? But even the role players in the NBA these days are making a lot of money, so they can probably get 2 to 3 role players to make the salaries match in order to pull it off in the salary cap situation. So they will, but, yeah,
Tristan
I agree
Thompson?
With you. Say what?
Would you trade, like, Tristan Thompson and
– I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't. He's a beast down there. I would not trade Tristan Thompson.
Okay. Okay, I just had to ask. That's who they're going to have to trade. They're going to have
I would
to
be
trade
trading somebody like I would be willing to. I'll be trying to see if they can take somebody like Iman Shumpert, J.R. Smith, somebody like that. But yeah, I wouldn't touch. If I'm Cleveland, Tristan Thompson is just. Well, I'm not going to say he's just as important as Love, Kyrie, and LeBron, but he's right there in the next tier. I think he's. And if you look at the way he's played in the playoffs the last couple of years, the way he's dominated the boards, a lot with his hustle play, I mean, he's been just as big a part of that team winning the championship and even going to the finals the year before. I think I don't include him in a trade package either.
I agree, but you're going to have to give them somebody, and it can't be Jarrett. Already said he wasn't going. So Iman Shumpert is not going to get it. They don't have anybody else. If you're not going to trade those three, Tristan Thompson is your best trade chip, and I agree with you, though. They shouldn't trade Tristan Thompson, but is LeBron the GM or not? We're going to find out for real up to the trade deal.
I
think that would set them back.
I would not trade Tristan Thompson. I wouldn't even trade him straight up for Carmelo Anthony. I think he's more important to that team. I wouldn't even make that trade straight up for Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony's an all-star, can score the basketball, but you're talking about your interior defense, your heart and soul, your team down there in the trenches. And I think he's a better asset for them winning than Carmelo coming in scoring. That's just my personal opinion. But
I agree. That's what
I would
just,
I would just say this here really quick. The players in this trade, it's not going to be what's going to be valued to the Knicks. It's going to have to be the picks. And but like JQ made a good point here, and I think if you're the Knicks, you got to realize this. Hey, Cleveland's going to be winning for the foreseeable future. So you're going to be picking, and these picks are going to be in the latter part of the first round. And the problem is Cleveland has already dealt with a good bit of their first-round picks until 2020. So I don't know how many more they have left. But I'm sure, you know, they can probably do something like 2021 or 2023. And trade some first-round picks. And if you're the Knicks, you'd probably be better off with that in hopes that by then those first-round picks may be worth something.
Got a minute to go. It's been fun, guys. Wrap this up, Rob. You got a minute, bro. And give some love to JQ.
Next week, we'll be back on the air Tuesday night, Valentine's night, people. Make sure y'all get y'all stuff
out. Whoa. We got to talk about that.
All right.
Maybe
Wednesday. Andre,
maybe
can
Wednesday.
We do Monday night next week?
That's a possibility. Yeah. All right.
All right. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to push for Monday night, 13th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. JQ got to take care of his wife.
We all got to take care of our wives. Don't just put that on us. All of us.
That's right.
Thank you, good people, for listening to you. It's always a pleasure, fellas. Good show.
Good night, people.
Good show. Good show. Good show. Thank you for
good show, fella.
Letting me have my moment here. You know, I'm okay. I'll be okay, man. You know, it's all good, man.
That's right, man. You got to release those tears, man. You can't hold that in.
I ain't crying. I'm just saying, it's another day, man. You know, I'm in my other phase.
Come on,
man. I'm through my phases, man. He posted a picture. We'll talk to you later. He posted a picture.